Today was such a great verse and purport that I thought in class I thought to continue on that here today as well. And it's 7th canto, chapter 2, text 13, Hiranyakashipu, king of demons. And Shukadev Goswami says thus, the demons, being fond of disastrous activities, took Hiranyakashipu's instructions on their heads with great respect and offer him obeisances. According to his directions, they engaged in envious activities directed against all living beings. And then this was Srila Prabhupada's great purport. The followers of demoniac principles, as described here, are thoroughly envious of the general populace. In the present day, scientific advancement exemplifies such envy. The discovery of nuclear energy has been disastrous to people in general, because demons all over the world are manufacturing nuclear weapons. The word Kadanapriya is very significant in this regard. The demoniac persons who want to kill the Vedic culture are extremely envious of the feeble citizens, and they act in such a way that ultimately their discoveries will be inauspicious for everyone. Jagato Hita. The 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita fully explains how the demons engage in sinful activities for the destruction of the populace. And because Srila Prabhupada had made reference already to the 16th chapter, so I'm going to continue just in that vein and read some of the verses. Krishna in the 6th verse says, O son of Pritha, in this world there are two kinds of created beings. One is called the divine and the other demoniac. I have already explained to you at length the divine qualities, now hear from me of the demoniac. So I mean, everyone up to now is more or less divine, whether they're devotees or gyanis or karmis, but at least they're following Vedic principles or religious principles, and they have some idea of going towards God, whatever their motivation may be. But here the demoniac are those who deny the existence of God, religious principles, and have another perspective on life. And what's that perspective? Well, here we go. Those who are demoniac do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. Neither cleanliness nor proper behavior nor truth is found in them. This is really, in fact, all of these verses are so relevant to what's going on in the modern world today. Pravrittischa nivrittischa. When we talk about demons, we're talking about people who adopted a demoniac mentality, and unfortunately that is the balance of modern civilization. They may be even so-called well-meaning, or at least they think that they're well-meaning, but the result of their activities is just the opposite. For Pravrittischa Nivrittischa, they don't know what's right and what's wrong. That's the basic standard of modern-day life, that there is no absolute truth, as Krishna will later say, but that everyone can have their own truth, and therefore there's no clear conception of what a right thing is or a wrong thing is. So, slaughterhouse to kill innocent animals, they don't think that this is wrong. You may be a vegetarian, that's a matter of choice. Everyone has their free choice in this day and age, but it's not a matter that meat eaters are wrong. It's just a different type of lifestyle. That killing babies in the womb, something which is accepted, is legal, supported by the government for abortion clinics, it's a choice. You may be pro-life or you may be pro-abortion, but that's just a choice, one choice of many that people may have, but it's not an issue of right or wrong, because there is no life. There is no life within the womb, at least until the 16th week and beyond that. So they don't know. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. And because they don't know what's right and wrong, therefore they perform demoniac activities. Here the word is not socham, that neither cleanliness nor proper behavior in your truth. So if you don't know what's right and what's wrong, then you won't know how to be clean. And it's very interesting how Krishna mentions here cleanliness even before proper behavior and truth. The standard of cleanliness of a society, therefore, is indicative of their level of culture. And they don't know how to behave. They don't know how to speak nicely. They don't know how to conduct themselves nicely. They don't know how to interact in the social sphere, in the family sphere. And there's no truth. There's no truth in how they speak, in the values that people adopt. There's no truth in the economic sector, not even in the religious sector. This concept that animals don't have souls, that the living entity or the human being is as much body as he is soul, is untruth. And it's untruth which is born of ignorance, because people don't really know what to do and what not to do. And why not? Because they've rejected it. And why have they rejected it? And how have they rejected it? Then the next verse Krishna says, they say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced of sex desire and has no cause other than lust. This is a really important verse because it's the underlying philosophy of our modern way of life. Asatyam. There is no truth. Everyone has their own truth. The world itself is not created, it is not manifest of truth, but it's happened by chance, and it has no foundation and no God in control, and it's also not going on according to laws. It's not going on according to the design of a creator or a supreme person who has a will that we are expected to abide by, but rather it's by chance cause, from an explosion, a primordial soup, whatever the explanation. Theories of creation may vary, but the end result is the same, is that, as Krishna here says, that it's come out by chance. It is unreal. And then, therefore, what is the cause? How is it that we're here? Evolution. Evolution means that it's produced of sex desire. Different species of life have evolved through the process of intercourse to bring about human beings. And then, therefore, if we're born of sex life, then we continue. It has no other cause other than lust. Lust not being simply sex life, but sense gratification as a whole. That becomes then the value system of society, because we reject values given to us by a superior. Therefore, sense gratification, the desires which are present within the heart of conditioned soul, and the fulfillment of those desires, that is the goal of this world, and demoniac people make this the basis of success, the measure of a person's worth and achievement in this life. Education, working, your contribution to society is based upon how you can fulfill the lusty desires of others. And they have different names for that. It's called philanthropy, it's called altruism, it's called humanitarianism, but it's all the same thing, how to fulfill this ultimate cause of lust. Following, Krishna says, following such conclusions, the demoniac who are lost to themselves and who have no intelligence engage in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. Lost to themselves. In other words, they are lost in this misconception of what life is about, not knowing what is right and not knowing what is wrong. And as such, they have no real intelligence, no intelligence towards the truth, no spiritual intelligence. They may be very intelligent in terms of fulfilling their sense gratification, but in terms of solving the ultimate problems of life, birth, death, old age, and disease, they have no intelligence. In terms of recognizing that sense control, renunciation, transcendental knowledge are real values, they cannot recognize these things. And as a result, the consequence of not knowing what's right and what's wrong, having an atheistic philosophy, means that they are engaged in unbeneficial, horrible works meant to destroy the world. ugra karmana kshayaya jagatohita. You can see that. With the introduction of the Industrial Revolution, the Technological Revolution, the Microchip Revolution, the whole world is geared to consumerism, as a result of which we are destroying the world. The air becomes unbreathable, the water undrinkable, the North Pole and the South Pole melt due to global warming, the sea levels rise, cities disappear. Obviously, people who are living in coastal cities around the world, they're not going to just become amphibious beasts, but rather they're going to then encroach on other people's properties, other people's lands, or other countries. As a result of that, there's going to be war. And systematically, the world is being destroyed. The species of life are dying out by the dozens on a daily basis, by the thousands yearly in this world. Forests are disappearing. Our entire existence is being called into question. But for the sake of sense gratification, leaders voted in through a democratic process still continue to enchant and bait foolish, ignorant people who vote them into power by this idea that by technology, by sense gratification, they're going to be able to solve the problems that they have created by the pursuit of sense gratification through technology. But they won't. And therefore, as Krishna then says, and here's the last verse I'll read, taking shelter of insatiable lust and absorbed in the conceit of pride and false prestige, the demonic, less illusioned, are always sworn to unclean work, attracted by the impermanent. They're attracted by the impermanent. Therefore, they know nothing other than the pursuit of the impermanent as their own work. This is their illusion. And despite the fact that they're constantly failing, they're so absorbed in pride and lust and false prestige that people are not willing to accept that they're doing things in the wrong way, that they have to do a complete overhaul of their outlook on life. And that overhaul isn't to have a reduced consumerism, to have some type of different approach to politics instead of democracy, a monarchy, or totalitarianism or what have you. But it means that they need to go back right to the very beginning and find out for what purpose this world is created, who is in control, what rules he gave that people must follow in order to be able to keep the balance between the world, the natural laws which conduct this world, human beings, animals, the environment, and so on. But as the Bhagavatam Shloka said, people are so much driven, demoniac people are so much driven by envy that they cannot control themselves, even though they're running into the fire, even though they're perishing, even though they're realizing that they're destroying the world, they're not willing to accept an alternative, and that is due to their envy of others. And I'll just finish with an interesting example of how this envy of others is manifest in a BBC article I read some days ago that, once again, of course, the famous proponents of this modern lifestyle, the Americans, who are willing to fight the world in order to protect their right to live as they do. In other words, they call it their lifestyle, although it's more like a death style. They were asked, what would you rather do, earn $500,000 a year and have your neighbor live at a lower lifestyle, or earn $1 million a year and have your neighbor have an equal lifestyle? In other words, that they're also making $1 million. And the majority of the people said that they would rather get the $500,000. In other words, they would rather have their income, provided that they're living better than their neighbors. That's called envy. Keep others down. And I don't mind if others are coming up, as long as I'm always ahead of them. And of course, such a hedonistic, no holes barred, no ceiling concept of life ultimately leads to destruction of the planet, destruction of our environment, and destruction of ourselves. As devotees, we should live a different type of lifestyle and avoid that. Hare Krishna.